What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. This is probably the third, maybe the fourth time we've had Chad Beal on the podcast, and we hope to continue having him on every few months for a very good reason. So Chad built his business, Bohemian Bull Tavern and Beer Garden, over the last 10 years or so. And then over the last year, he started franchising it, worked on that for several years. Started selling licenses last year in 2022, and I believe has six locations now, either open or opening soon, and more in the pipe, and has really built a great, simple concept, executed really well, put all the right systems in place. As I said, worked on this for a solid 10 years, getting it ready, and is very passionate about helping people grow and learn and teaching people. And so he's going to have this opportunity as franchisees buy licenses to go and help them set up and build their own successful business under his brand. And he's just a great guy, solid, kind dude, authentic, hardworking, loves hospitality. I mean, the kind of guy, if I lived in Charleston where he lives, I'd be hanging with him all the time as a good friend. So we really hope to continue sharing the story as his franchise business grows. I mean, when we first had him on here, he had his one location years ago, and he's doing extremely well and has earned it and deserves it. And we look forward to continuing to share his story as that story continues to grow and his business continues to thrive and prosper. So thank you very much for listening. And before we get to Chad, some words from our sponsors. Our first sponsor is Flip, FLYP, flipmoney.com, or you can find Flip in the App Store, mobile banking platform built for the hospitality industry. Y'all, if you're an owner or a manager and you're looking for a very unique, meaningful, cool employee benefit, check out Flip. Again, it's a mobile banking platform built for the hospitality industry. So they know that, you know, their customer base doesn't have tons of cash often, and so there's no minimum balances on their checking accounts, none of these ridiculous fees that banks like to charge all the time, no ATM fees. You can get direct deposit, you can get your pay early, overdraft with 0% interest, all kinds of really good perks and benefits. So we just think it's a great opportunity to provide something unique and meaningful to your team as you continue to look for different types of employee benefits to help attract and retain good people. So check out Flip, flipmoney.com, FLYP. You can find them in the App Store. Let them know. Use a promo code SCHEDULEFLY, and each person, if you use that when you sign up, you spend $100 on your debit card in the first month, they're going to give you $20 free. So check it out. The second sponsor is our new partner, Pop Menu. Pop is in popcorn. Pop Menu is a great company. They serve many of our customers. We have a lot of mutual customers, and I've talked to a lot of those mutual customers, and they're very happy with Pop Menu, with both the product and the service that they back that product up with. Pop Menu is going to build you a new website, a very dynamic website, and they're going to make your menu your best sales tool. They're going to do three things really, really well, high level, which is give you great SEO, number one, search engine optimization. So when people are looking for the type of food you serve in your city or town, they're going to find you natural search results at or near the top. That's the SEO. Number two, they're going to turn your menu into a tool that keeps people engaged and keeps people on your site. So instead of a PDF that they look at and they go to Yelp and try to see what people are saying, they've got reviews about each of your menu items right there on your site. You control the reviews. It's phenomenal. In fact, if you want to see a great Pop Menu site, go to chaipani.com, chaipani.com. Chaipani was awarded the James Beard Outstanding Restaurant this past year in 2022. Great mutual customer. Beautiful website, incredible menu, great example of Pop Menu. And on the back end, they provide you with excellent tools to help people engage once they become your customer to keep them coming back. So they help people find you. They help people stay on your site and avoid all those unfair and weird and ridiculous Yelp reviews and other things. And and then they keep help you keep them coming back. So really cool company, great customer support, great partner of Schedulefly. Check them out. Tell them Schedulefly sent you. You're going to get a discount on your photography when they come photograph your menu items. And here we go. Oh, and by the way, Chad Beal at Bohemian Beer Garden. Bohemian Bull he's a pop menu customer. And all their franchise licensees will be using pop menu. And he's a very happy customer and a long-time customer. So good example. Check out his website, bohemianbull.com. Okay, y'all, here we go.
Hey, what's up? Sorry, trying to get my camera and everything on. There we are. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm in my daughter's room right now. I don't know if I've got COVID or not, but
I'm not feeling great under the weather.
Was not in shape to hit the road today. No, I was so bummed, man. I was looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, it's too bad. There's been a lot of nastiness, funk going around. I think, you know, we all wore masks for the last couple of years, and now everybody's like, woohoo! And I think our immune systems are not ready for all that, but it doesn't seem like anybody's, you know, just not feeling good for the most part, which is good.
Just kind of run down. I've been traveling a lot too, so I don't know if it's just, you know, road weariness or what, but
yeah, I got mine back in December, like mid-December. I was just like, oh, I just couldn't shake it. I felt bad for like 2 days, but then it lasted for like 3 or 4 weeks where I couldn't shake it. But I was finally fine after that. It was just a rough cold, it kind of felt like. So I didn't feel fevers and all that kind of stuff, which is nice.
So you were probably on the road a lot in December, I guess. You got all these locations opening.
We were at the grand opening of our store in Greenville, getting that spot opened. And I had signed up to run a half marathon in Charleston like 6 months prior. And I had this big game plan of like a PR that I was going to set. And I knew I had this like whole plan inside my head on how I was going to do this, on what my mile paces need to be each mile and everything. And then I had to go to Greenville to open a store. That's obviously a priority. And so I said, you know what? I'm gonna do it while I'm here. I know it's not going to be the same, but I'm going to do it while I'm here. It's not an actual race that I'm in, but I'll do it the same morning. You know, I had a bunch of buddies that were going out to do it. And it was 40 degrees, pouring rain. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration. It was off and on. It was sprinkling most of the time, but there were some moments where it came down on me. And yeah, it was one of those ones that was mentally challenging for sure. And there's not a flat surface there either, where I'm very used to running on very flat surfaces in Charleston. You can run over bridges and get your hills in that way here. That's about it. So I think that probably contributed to my sickness, and then working, 14, 15, 16 hour days while we were there too, 7 days a week. So I don't think it was a wise decision that I made at that time.
No, man, that'll whip your immune system down for sure.
Yeah.
How did the run go?
It wasn't my best, as expected. It was more to, you know, just do it and have accomplish it as, you know, yet another goal to try to tackle and try to do. I love physical challenges a lot, as you know, and I knew it wasn't going to be like a PR for me or anything like that. I knew going into it based on the weather and like the hilliness of the area. I mean, literally there was not a flat surface. You went down, you went back up, you went down, you went back up. It was just, it's hills the whole entire area that I ran in. And I didn't know the space very well. So I just kind of, they have a really beautiful trail that runs through Greenville that I have ran before that is a little bit more rolling hills, but I had to drive to go to it. I just kind of got up in the morning and ran because I had to work that day for the opening of the store. And so it's what it is. I got it done. It was 2:15 was my finishing time, when like my PR is like 1:47. So that was pretty far off, but that's okay. I got it done.
1:47 for a half marathon?
Mm-hmm.
That's hauling, man.
Yeah, I think that's like a little under a 9 minute pace. I think is like an 8:50, 8:55 pace, somewhere in that ballpark, I want to say.
Well, congrats on just pulling that off still while you're there out of town doing a store opening. So is that, so Greenville is your first franchise location that has opened. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep. That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. And they're doing really well. Things are going great. It's in a really awesome location. It's an area, the road that it's on is called Pelham Road. It's in a shopping center, which I didn't know how well that would go. I was a little nervous on shopping center restaurant. It's just not, you know, our original location, standalone, big, huge beer garden. We do require that they have an outdoor space because it's in our namesake, you know, Bohemian Bowl Tavern and Beer Garden. And so they did. The spot actually had an outdoor space. And, you know, obviously it's the wintertime, so they're not utilizing it currently. But the shopping center is unique in the sense that it has a lot of restaurants. There's a bunch of businesses that are right around it, along with like 8 or 9 hotels that are behind the shopping center. So it definitely accommodates all the people that are visiting, as well as all the businesses that are around there. So it makes sense. It's right next to, it's an Earth Fair shopping center. So that's the main hub that's in there. And then we're right next door to that. And it's a great space. It turned out really well. It's been great so far. Really amazing reviews coming out. The sales have been phenomenal. So we're happy with everything that's going on there. Staff is great. We love the people that came on board there. We've got a really great crew there. So we're excited.
People are coming back to work now.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it depends on the market. I think that Greenville seemed to be a little higher, easy hiring than Charleston was. Ironically, we have we have another store that we're opening in that market in an area called Malden, which is like a suburb of Greenville, a small little town outside, not so small anymore. It's just a very fast growing area. And what we've seen there has been a little bit easier hiring in that market than Charleston. Charleston's really challenging, like I think most culinary cities are. And I think a lot of that is, there's certainly a big movement for people to get paid more, which I agree with. I think that we should, these people come in, they bust their humps and they work really hard for us. And I want to pay them as much as I possibly can with still having a for-profit business. But it gets a little bit challenging sometimes here with, you know, the amount that, finding that balance, right? And we're still running a business. We've got to still figure out how to make money and everybody get paid a fair amount. I think that's been a challenge here. My theory is two things. I think one, we had the, you know, massive retirement of the baby boomer industry, of the baby boomer generation, right? That I think everybody thought was going to be kind of a slow process, but when COVID happened, I think a lot of people just chose to go ahead and retire because they were like, well, I don't want to be around all these people. And so I'm older and want to go ahead and just get out of the way and go ahead and retire. And so I think that was probably a big part of the workforce. I don't know the stats on that, but that's my understanding was that was a big chunk. And then I think that there's a younger generation that really has this big focus on gig work where they don't need to have a schedule. They don't need to, work. They're working for somebody, but they're doing it in a way that they're able to kind of set their own parameters. I can't like disagree. When I was 19, 20 years old, I probably would have had a lot of that same mindset. I think the short-term vision of that is that you, a lot of those gig type jobs, you're missing out on a lot of benefits, which we offer. I think is one of the big perks with us is you've got, you know, health insurance and 401k and, really great work environment and consistent hours and stuff like that, where I think in the gig world, I think that's not as common, right? And there's a lot of gig type jobs you can do now, from, you know, all the different delivery services and Uber driving and Lyft driving, and I mean, you name it, there's all kinds of stuff to do out there to make a buck. But what we do on our end is we just try to provide people with a really great work environment so that we can hopefully not have that issue. And for the most part, we don't have a major staffing issue, especially compared to a lot of restaurants that we see that aren't able to open for lunch because they can't find staff, or they're not able to open on Mondays and Tuesdays because they can't find staff or whatever have you. We've never come across that. We've never had a point where we can't open the doors because we don't have enough people. So we've been really lucky with that. And we think that's because we provide a really good work environment for people.
Yeah, a lot of that gig stuff is it's new and it seems great. Make your own hours and all that kind of stuff. But I wonder if that's one of those things that over time people start realizing, yeah, but you're also alone all the time. You're by yourself. People like to be around other people and work in a team. And
but so those gig work in the restaurant business now. So there's a company that was started here in Charleston that is basically gig work for line cooks. So you can sign up as a restaurant, you can go on to their app, you can find, if you need somebody to fill a spot, you can find somebody and you can reach out to numerous people at the same time and try to, like, hopefully one of them will come in and work for you that night. I think the pay is usually around $20 an hour, and the employee takes home obviously a percentage of that, and the app takes home a percentage of that. I don't know a ton about it. We've never signed up for it. We've never had felt like we've been forced to use it. But that has certainly been a part of, like, I think it's a grand idea in part of it, you know, it's the idea is that you're filling spots that you need filled for the night. For us though, we need we put somebody through a minimum of 1 week of full training, like 40 hours, you know, working a station side by side with another individual, learning our product, learning what we're putting out. To throw somebody in that would be really difficult to do. I think there's certain positions in a restaurant that maybe could be done that way, possibly washing dishes or bussing tables. But I would even be worried about somebody doing those things not knowing sanitation guidelines and things like that. So we've never used it, but I know a lot of restaurants in Charleston that use it. And I think the guy who developed it is based out of here in Charleston. And I think he's growing it pretty rapidly. I think it's becoming really popular in a lot of cities.
What's it called?
Is it gig pro, maybe something like that? I'm not positive exactly what the name of the app is called. That sounds really dumb as I'm sitting here talking about it. Completely honest. Just because we've never utilized it ourselves, so that's the only reason I don't know a ton about it. But it is another source of, like, gig type style work that's made for the restaurant industry.
Seems like if you signed up for that and you went and you worked somewhere and you liked the experience, wouldn't that be could it be a recruiting tool for you all almost, that you find somebody that's like really good, how about a full-time gig here?
It can be. I think that's how a lot of restaurants utilize it. Once again, I just go back to, we just haven't had to utilize it yet. I'm not saying it's out of the question. It certainly can be. And I know we have hired cooks that have used it and have said that's how they found previous jobs, because they get to then try places out. We actually do what a lot of people call a more fine dining stage shift. We call it a working interview. The difference that we do is we pay people when they do that. So they're written a check at the end of their shift whenever they come in and do a working interview with us. But we do that with every kitchen employee that comes through. They do a working interview with us because it is really it's a physical job, right? It's not the restaurant industry. It does take a lot of mental capacity. It's definitely a thoughtful job, but it also is a physical job too. So we want to see you doing the job. We want to see your knife skills. We want to see your cooking skills. We want to know that you know what a medium rare, you know, hamburger looks like, and so on and so forth. So,
And you've got, let's see here, Mount Pleasant and then Dallas and Malden are all opening soon. Is that right?
Yeah. So I just walked in the door to my house. I'm sitting in my office right now from our store in Mount Pleasant. Was out there visiting with those guys, having a meeting with a local radio station, talking about grand opening stuff and just checking out the location. So we're hoping to get open there in the next few weeks, like probably mid-February-ish. You know, obviously pending construction or anything like that, there's always hiccups that come along, but it looks like we're on a pretty good path for that. And then Malden, which is that place right outside of Greenville, they are wrapping things up there as well. And so we're looking at the end of February for them. So we're basically going to go open up Mount Pleasant, get our cars and drive to Malden and open up Malden. We're there. We're in the stores for about 2 weeks at a time. We do a week long training with all the staff, and then we do a week of staying there with them, supporting them through their first week of grand opening. And then Dallas is looking at sometime in March. I'm not positive exactly when they will be because it's kind of a little too early to tell. Sometime in March for Dallas, and then we're working on lease agreements with Houston and with Jacksonville right now. I think Jacksonville is getting really close to a lease agreement. We've got a really cool spot there in Yulee, Florida, which is north of Jacksonville, and it looks like a really promising area. It's a big, super fast growing kind of suburb type area of Jacksonville. So I think that one's going to be a big hit.
Nice, man. That's fantastic. So that's five. So about seven total. Is that right?
Six total. And then we're working on a lease in Clemson right now too. We're pretty early on that. So I'm not holding my breath on that one quite yet, but it's getting close.
Okay. So it's really, so just you're going wherever, I mean, you've got people contacting you, and when somebody's interested and the stars align and it's the right fit for them and the right market, you guys are doing it. So how many other conversations are you having?
We have a process of getting leads through marketing efforts, through our website. We have a website, franchisebohemianbowl.com. And on that website, there's a form you can fill out and you can get information from us, and then we can start a conversation from there. I have a whole sales team that does all that. And then in addition, where we get the majority of our leads is actually social media. I laugh. I've talked to these guys several times and said, what do people do before social media to sell franchises? Like knock door to door or something? You know, it's just amazing what the amount of people that we can touch through social media. And I think it's been really great for us to be able to get into markets like Texas and Florida, where we really wouldn't have probably years ago been able to do that. Right. And so, we gain a lead. We have a sales rep that goes through a process with them of kind of vetting the people to make sure that one, they, you know, are the right fit personality wise, that the location they're looking at makes sense. They're not, hey, we want to open it in some little small town in Georgia that has a population of 1500. Like, that's not going to work, obviously. Do they have the financials to be able to do it? We have a great SBA program that we help them with if they need to get loans, but they're going to need a down payment on the SBA and they're going to need some cash flow. So the SBA looks for anywhere from 10 to 20% down payment. And the builds can be anywhere from $500,000 to, you know, over $1 million, depending on what they're doing. We love to see second generation locations. It's kind of what we hang our hat on, is being, we try to be as earth conscious as possible. And so doing a second generation location allows us to kind of go into a space that already existed. So we're not having to do new builds and all this, and really just kind of remodeling it into a Bohemian Bowl. So that's where a lot of our locations are right now, is that we're second generation and we're just remodeling. But yeah, that's kind of how the process works. It's working well so far. We've gotten some really great people. Our franchisees that we have so far are amazing. I've been very, very lucky to be able to work with some of these great people. They're incredible entrepreneurs with great minds. And I love the way they think, and I love the way they're coming at their approach to these things. I'm learning a ton through the process through these people as well, because they're really intelligent guys and girls. And they're where I think the big thing is that they're, I'm just here to really mentor them through the process of what it's like to own and open a restaurant and in our systems, right? Our processes of how we do it and what we do. These guys know how to run businesses in general, but you know, what do we do on our side? And that's been a fun process for them to learn that.
So here we are, January 2023. How many do you think you'll have end of this year? Do you guys have a goal, or is it just you just go through the process and it is?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is really five or six a year. I don't, and at some point in time, I never want to say like, I don't anticipate this or I do anticipate this, because I mean, I kind of am a very much mindset of a person that allows life to kind of take me where it takes me. But I will say that our goal would be 5 to 6 a year. And we try to say that because could we do 20? Maybe. Could we do 20 well right now? No, I don't think so. And it's simply because we're really a startup. You know, we started with one location. So the fact that we even had people sign up with us was just the most humbling process to me, that they took the chance to say, we see this one location that's done really well and been lucrative, and we believe that it'll do the same thing in our city. I think it's just, to me, was like mind blowing and super cool that I think of us as just this little mom and pop, like burger and beer place, you know, but obviously there's a bigger picture to that. I think, to me, I want to do it the right way. I can pop up 20 of these, but are we going to train everybody correctly? Are they going to get the attention that they need from me and from my team right now? No. I mean, in 10 years from now, do we have the capacity to do that? Maybe. I've been through that process. I was a corporate trainer for big companies, so I know what that's like, but I don't know when that is that we get there. Because we're really happy with how it's going right now and being able to spend a lot of quality time with the people that we have hired or we have given the jobs to or given the franchises to.
One of the things that we got into last time we talked was, you know, physical health, mental health, finding balance. I mean, you're in Greenville working on an opening and you're doing a half marathon. So you've committed to that. It's when you've got your restaurant and you're there and you're in town and you've been with Bohemian Bull for quite a number of years now, you have a good routine and a good pattern and everything. How is that going and how do you think that'll go going forward with a lot of travel? Is it harder to keep that up?
Well, certainly. I mean, I would be lying if I said like it's super easy, right? I mean, we're working 14, 15, 16 hour days, like 7 days a week during these openings. And so to try to squeeze in like workouts during that time is really difficult. And I during the month from the time we opened Greenville until, you know, just getting settled through the holidays and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was everything, you know, there's the store opening, there's the holidays, there's travel, all that kind of stuff. And so the beauty of running for me, and that's not all I do. That is something I thoroughly enjoy. And a lot of that is the community of runners. I have just some of my closest friends are all great, phenomenal, phenomenal runners. And they're the ones who got me into it. You just need a pair of shoes. Right. I mean, that's all you need. So, I mean, there's you can use every excuse in the world not to do it, but that's really all you need. And so, you know, do I wear earbuds and do I have, you know, running gear that I go with when I run long distances and gel packs and water and yada, yada? Yeah, of course. But I don't really need any of that stuff. All I need is a pair of shoes. And you could argue maybe you don't need that.
Some would. Born right. And run. Yeah, right.
So running to me is such an easy way to get out and exercise. And it's not just about your physical health. That is a big chunk of it. But it is scientific proof that it helps mentally as well, right? I mean, anybody who exercises will probably be the first person to tell you that, like, they are not just doing it for their body, but they're doing it for their mind as well. I think a big piece, I was talking to a guy today, I do CrossFit as well. So I do CrossFit usually 3 to 4 days a week. And this morning I was talking to a gentleman in my class. I go to a 9 a.m. class, which is a really bizarre time for a lot of people. So we tend to have people in that class that are entrepreneurs like myself. Or stay-at-home moms. It's like one or the other. and then there's like a girl I work out with regularly too, that's like a college professor, right? Just people that don't have like normal kind of 9-to-5 type jobs, because it's a 9 a.m. class. And I was talking to a guy this morning and we were talking about how, you know, for that 1 hour, like 3 to 4 days a week, I can't really think about anything else except for what I'm doing, because I'm physically challenged in a major way during that period of time. And so I don't I can't, my mind can't wander about the invoices that need to be paid and the employees that need this and stuff. And those are all really important things, but you get a chance to kind of reset a little bit during that time. And it's really important. And the same thing goes for running. Running to me is like meditation. And yeah, I know that sounds bonkers, and it's probably because I do a lot of long distance stuff. So I'm not like out there like sprinting and running really hard. That's my CrossFit workout, is like the hard stuff where I'm, you know, really huffing and puffing. It's really intense. I get a lot of thinking done when I'm out running. A lot of times I'll turn off the music. Sometimes I'll listen to podcasts, but a lot of times I'll just sit there in silence and just get a lot of thoughts in my head. And so the physical health is really important, right? I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'm 42 years old. I'm not getting any younger. But the mental health to me is maybe even more important part of it, especially in this industry, right? Where it can chew people up, spit people out, super stressful. A lot of people drinking really heavily, a lot of drug use, things like that. And it's a great way to get away from all that.
I'm seeing more and more people that are, you know, sort of publicly hanging their hats on choosing sobriety, it seems like, in the industry. I know Ben's Friends has been a big thing, and it seems like that conversation is picking up more and more. There's been some, you know, well-known chefs and people that have big social media presences that I've seen that have said, you know what, I'm going to choose a different path going forward. I think that's such a healthy thing for the industry.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I chose to do my first marathon about a year ago. It was December of 2021. So a little over a year ago at this point. And I thought through, I kind of like did this checklist in my head of, okay, I'm at that time, you know, I'm 41 years old. It's a big feat. Like, there's not a lot of people that have done this. This is a lot. This is a very physically challenging thing to do. The training takes a lot of time. What can I do to get out of this and do this without injuring myself and without like really doing some damage to my body? And so I knew nutrition is extremely important. I know that was like a big part of how I was going to have success with this, was putting healthy food in my body. But I also decided that I would quit drinking at that time. And I said, I'll just quit drinking for like 4 months. I'm a big bourbon fan. I'm a big craft beer fan, obviously, like that's a big part of my restaurant. And I said, but I can quit drinking for 4 months. That's nothing. So I did the marathon. Didn't do as well as I had anticipated. It is really hard. Anybody who's ever done one will tell you that. and the training is really hard. I mean, that's equally like the amount of time. I mean, there's days when on Saturday mornings, but Saturdays and Sundays were my long runs, and depending on how the week went, and I would get up in the morning and I would say bye to my wife and kids, and I would be gone for 3 or 4 hours, you know, out there running, you know, 16, 18, 20 mile long runs. And so I didn't finish as well as I anticipated. I did complete it, but it took me longer than I thought. And so what I did was there was another marathon that was in February. So about 2 months down the road in Hilton. This first one was in Charleston. The second one that I was looking at was in Hilton Head. And so I said, you know, what the heck, man, I'm in the best shape of my life as far as running is concerned. Let's try another one. It's a couple months down the road from now. My body will be rested by then. So I just continued to not drink during that period of time. And after 6 months, and I did do the second marathon, and I once again didn't do all that great. And maybe I'm just not a marathon runner, and that's okay. I did a couple of them. They're hard. They're really tough. They're very mentally challenging too, not just physically, but very mentally. And because when you're training, a lot of people who've never done this before don't realize you really only go up to about 20 miles, sometimes 22, but it's so taxing on your body to go to that 26 mile mark that you don't have enough time to recover to continue training. So you never go to that because you got to keep training. So you never get, so it's just like it's a very standard thing to run anywhere in that 18 to 20, sometimes 22 mile range. I think I did 21 miles or so during my training. Anyways, after 6 months of not drinking, I was like, man, I feel pretty awesome. I feel pretty great. Never been a big drinker to begin with. And so I just continued not drinking. So that's been over a year and a half now, I guess, because it was in August of 2021. Yep. August of 2021 that I quit drinking. So, yeah. But here we are, still no drinking. So my family loves it. My wife loves it. I get to drive her home after she's had a couple cocktails. I'm the DD for all my friends. So they take advantage of that. They love that aspect of it. And frankly, I feel really, it's very rewarding to know that you can get people home safe and that you can be a DD if you need to. And that, you know, I love not being hungover. It's everybody that's over 40 will tell you that, man, it's like the older you get, the more it is just awful. It's just so bad. And I kind of question whether or not like I have some type of weird like allergy or something. I don't know, because I felt like my hangovers were just awful. And frankly, opening up 6 restaurants a year, I ain't got time for that. I really don't have time to waste a day of my life of just feeling like crap. And that's really what it boiled down to. And I have 2 kids that I want to be a positive influence to. I have a staff that I want to be a positive influence to. I'd like to think that I've been that way for them. We have several people on our team now that have quit drinking. We have several people that I do runs with. We sponsor a bunch of runs around Charleston, and I run with a lot of my team members. It's really cool to have that. And if that's all it takes is me not drinking to be a positive influence on people, that's pretty awesome. Cause it is ingrained into our society and we sell it. I mean, it's part of our business model. Right. So I don't think there's anything wrong with consuming alcohol. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah. It's just an individual choice for sure. So you don't even just have like one every now and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll taste stuff when we get things in the restaurant. I'll have like, because I don't have a problem with it, right? I'm not a recovering alcoholic or anything like that where I can't touch it. It was just a choice that I made. When we get good bourbons in or something, I'll you know, taste literally like a taste of it. If we go out, my wife has like an amazing cocktail. So, oh, you got to try this. Obviously, we have, I don't know if you know much about our cocktail program, we have a phenomenal cocktail program and a really great bar director. And she's now my business partner, Morgan. And when she makes new stuff, I always taste them and things like that. So I get that. I kind of have that advantage of like being able to like try things and taste things and stuff without having to like really consume very much. So, which is nice. It's a good balance.
Love it, man. Love it. Well, dude, what a great year. What a great year you had. I mean, that's amazing to have that many opening and more on the way. It seems like your geography seems to be Southeast, growing that's town right. Outside of big towns in the Southeast, college right. towns. Clemson will be a good one if you get that going.
Clemson should be fun. Yeah, we've got the spot that we're looking at is really neat too because it's on a lake. Anybody who knows Clemson knows there's a couple of lakes around there, and it's a beautiful area. If everything works out with a lease, it's like a dock. You would dock your boat. There's about, I don't know, 18 or 20 boat slips and walk up some stairs onto the patio of Bohemia Bowl. So it's a pretty neat spot to be in, and we're excited about it if we get the opportunity. We'll see how the lease pans out over the next few weeks, and hopefully everything works out.
What's been there?
Nothing. It's new construction. It's a apartment complex that's being built, and it's on the bottom floor is all restaurants and retail. So currently there's a brewery that would be right next door to us, which would be obviously a great relationship to have with us having a big focus on craft beer. There's a taco spot in there as well. There's a couple of retail shops in there so far. It's like 80 or 90% capacity with the apartments being filled already. It's in a really great spot. I have some friends who live there. Obviously, like my first question was, you know, is this primarily student? Are we going to be dead during the summertime because there's not going to be anybody here to feed? But that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like there's a lot of like you could probably say that about Clemson 20 years ago, but today there's a lot of students that they fall in love with that area while they're there. And then they get out and they start their own businesses or they end up staying there working for somebody. And it's not very far from Greenville. So I think there's some people that kind of live in between those areas. And yeah, it's a beautiful area. If you've ever been there, it's kind of the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and they get a beautiful weather. You know, of course it's hot during the summertime like it is anywhere in South Carolina, but it's not crazy like it is here in Charleston, and they get a little bit of a winter too. They get some snow here and there. And yeah, it's a pretty area.
Keep coming north, man. We're up here in North Carolina, just kind of waiting.
Man, I'd love to. I'll tell you what, man, if I could get into some of the markets there, I think what we're seeing, which we anticipated and I would expect, to be honest with you, is that we have a lot of franchisees, potential franchisees, candidates that are reaching out and saying, hey, look, we love the brand. We love what you guys are doing. We want to see some stores open and we want to see how they do. And yeah. So, you know, we've had some really great interviews with some people who have franchise experience. They already own some other brands. They're wanting to diversify their portfolio, and I don't blame them. I 100%, you know, like I said from the beginning, I feel completely humbled by the fact that we have six people that wanted to work with us right from the beginning. Yeah, amazing. It's amazing. And take that jump with us. And so, you know, so far so good. I think we're going to have a lot of success with these first few, and so I think that it'll show people that are interested what we're capable of doing, which is awesome. And we're not rewriting the book in a lot of ways, right? I mean, I think some of the feedback we get negative would be that, oh, it's great, another burger place. And I would like to think that, you know, yeah, we are a burger place. I love burgers, and that's one of the reasons we did what we did. But it's, you know, we're doing some stuff that's a little bit more unique, from the toppings to the fact that we're grinding our own meat in house, and we're using, you know, certified black Angus, and it's a good quality. And, you know, we use brisket inside of our burgers as well. So you're getting a lot, real high fat content. So super juicy, really delicious burgers. Everything's made from scratch. So yeah, we're a burger joint, but I think that's what differentiates us. And then on top of that, you've got then the culture piece that goes with it of us, you know, we hang our hat in a major way on giving back to the community. There's in our kitchen written on the wall, it says, you know, that we giving back to the places that we work and live in is a big part of what we do. So, you know, that's super, super important to us. We wouldn't be successful if it wasn't for our neighbors, right? So, I think you probably know this already, but we do a ton of charity work and host charitable events and, you know, try to give back to the community as much as we can. So I think that's a big part of our success as well, on top of the great food and the great cocktails and stuff like that. It's our involvement with the communities that we're in. And we're seeing that that's part of the criteria of our franchisees as well, man. All of them believe in that process too, which is awesome.
Do you talk to like the one that's in Greenville that's already open, how often do you communicate with them?
Multiple times a day. maybe there might be a period here and there where there's a couple days that goes by that we don't have a conversation about something, but there's often, you know, we have weekly meetings where we do like a Zoom type call like this. And we just kind of go over the week and answer questions and just talk about different things like cost of goods and labor and stuff like that and staffing and all that. And you know, they're also, because they're right down the street from the Malden store that's going to be opening. I mean, not right down the street, but they're in the same kind of community in a sense. We've been having conversations about that too, because they're helping with the hiring process and training some people in that location for the new location too. So yeah, we chat pretty frequently. And like I said, I was just out in Mount Pleasant. I just came back from Texas a couple weeks ago, where we went and visited our franchisee in Dallas, in addition to our franchisee in Houston. I just got done text messaging right before I got on the phone with you with our franchisee in Jacksonville. So yeah, they keep me busy, which is good. And I love it. I mean, this is what I signed up for. I absolutely enjoy the whole mentor process.
I can tell you do. I know that's something that's been important to you. Well, I'll let you go. You got your hands full. Congratulations. And I will hopefully get back down to get healthy and get back down to Charleston in the next couple months, man. I'll come eat one of those burgers for sure.
Thanks, Will. I appreciate it, man. It's great seeing you.
See ya.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.